are dealing with a very dangerous. I hope those of you there are part of this Bible study. We're dealing with a very dangerous spirit whose purpose is to destroy, kill, steal. And he's serious. He's not joking about it. And we have to encounter him anyway. There's no running away from it. So we need to know how to deal with these things. If we don't deal with them, they will deal with us. So but this evening, I'm going to lay some very important foundation that we must lay, so that when we go further to talk about this delegated authority, we'll be able to understand it. Because you see, in spite of the fact that people know that we can rebuke the devil, can cast out the devil, but majority of Christians do not have faith enough to do that. Many do not have faith enough to effectively do that. The failure rate is so high. It's so high, but it shouldn't be so. So our text comes from Romans 5:16. And the Romans 5:16, I'm reading New Living Translation. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to, what did it lead to? Condemnation. But God's, and I want you to please read along with me and understand what the scripture is saying. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's what?
Free gift.
When the Bible says something, please understand that that's God talking to us. Free gift. That's what God calls it. Free gift leads to our being what? Made right with God. Even though we are guilty of many sins. So what leads us to being made right with God is not us. The Bible, God makes it clear that it's the free gift of God that leads us to being made right with God. It's not us. It's not you. We'll never be you. It's impossible to be us. Then the next verse, 17. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused, what did they cause? Death to rule over many. But even greater than, you see, what God is doing, gave us is greater. Even greater is God's wonderful grace and his, what again? Gift of righteousness. It's greater than the sin of Adam. It's greater. It's the gift of righteousness for all who receive it. We live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Verse 18. Yes, Adam's one sin. How many sins? One sin brings condemnation to everyone. So whether you have never sinned or not, you have been condemned already because of this man's sin. But Christ's one act of righteousness, what does it bring? Brings a right relationship with God and new life for how many people? For everyone. The next one, please. Many became, you see how we became sinners to start with? But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made right. Up until now, which part is what we have done to be made righteous? Nothing at all. Verse. Okay, let's stop there. Now, Galatians 5:2. Remember that we are made righteous, all of it, by what Christ has done for us, right? Now let's see what Galatians 5:2 says. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. Why is it so? Why is it so? Because you are made right with God through what Jesus did. If you are devising another means, then you are rejecting the one that Christ what? Provided. If you are counting on circumcision or counting on any other thing whatsoever to have a right standing with God, to stand before God, and be justified. If anybody is counting on anything else apart from what Jesus did, then what Jesus did is no more useful to the person. Do you get what I'm saying? So Paul says, if you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I'll say it again, if you are trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. For if you are trying to make yourself right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. It's simple to understand it. You've been cut off from Christ, completely disconnected from Jesus. You have also fallen away from God's grace. And you know, this is where the devil attacks Christians mercilessly. Man, he dealt with me here. For years, this place confused me. For years, I will be thinking, so is God saying, I'll do whatever I like? So yeah, let me do. But you know, Paul said that. He said some people said that we preach that we should do whatever we like so that grace will what? He said their destruction is like what they're saying. He said we didn't say anything like that. Let me explain this then. Because some of the things I'm going to talk about hinges on this very part. If you as a Christian, please listen to me and be serious. If you as a Christian, if you don't understand the gift of righteousness, you will not make good progress. You can be zealous. I'm not saying you won't be zealous, but you will not reign. You are not going to reign. And once you are cut off from Christ, I want to know what you are going to do without him. No, you cut off, if I can. Let's demonstrate it, my brother. He looks like Jesus, so he's Jesus. He gave me a gift of what? Righteousness. And God didn't create me to be independent of him. God created me to be joined to him. Because from him, everything I need, what? Comes. See, is divine. So he gives me righteousness. I don't have it. He said, hey, it's because of me you can stand before my brother come. You know what? We want to call you God. So you can stand before him. Right? Do you see us? Come on, are you seeing us? Without him, can I come? Come on, church. I can't come. So I come in his name. I come. He gave me the right standing. He gave me the right to stand before God. And he gave me his righteousness. So I'm standing before God because of him. Right? And at a point, the devil comes to me and says, you know, you can go on your own. You have become so good now. See how much you pray. See how righteous you are. And then I say, yeah, let me go because I'm good. You see what happens immediately. Because when I reject his righteousness, I'm rejecting him as my way to God. And Bible said that God has made a new and living way through which we can come, through his flesh, through him, his death on the cross, what that death provided us. God created, consecrated that way. And God warned us, nobody comes to me except by him. But I now think, now, it's been a long time now I know what I'm doing. And then they tell us, you need his gift of righteousness. They say, no, I don't need it. So what I've said is, I'm now cut off from him. Do you get what I'm saying? Are you getting my point? Because I rejected what is good. And when I reject it, I'm saying, I don't need that. I do 9 videos, I pray a lot. Do all my life, I serve God. So I'm going because of those things. Now when you cut yourself off, that without him you can do. So how can you go and reign? Try. And the thing that gives you access to God is that righteousness, so nothing else. You can't come. It's that righteousness he gives you all the time. And it is that righteousness that brings you to God so that God can give you power to live right. Now you cut this off. How do you get the power to live right? Where is it coming from? You become a hypocritical Pharisee. You end up a hypocrite. You appear before men to be what? Good. But you deny the power. The Bible says, from such, run away. Because they are corrupt. How many of you follow what I'm saying? Are you following my point? Are you still confused? If you are following me, say amen. You must understand this. If you don't understand, thank you. If you don't understand this, you can't reign. Forget about yelling at devil, you are wasting your time. You can't have the faith to reign. You don't. Because you are disconnected from Christ, the source, the vine. Because you don't want the righteousness is giving you that makes you come and stand before God, that connects you to whatever God is giving you. You cut it off and you falling from grace. You are done for. Your Christianity will be a Pharisee Christian. I'm not saying you won't have zeal. You might even end up being a pastor. You can be whatever you want to be. But I'm telling you, you can't reign. You can't overcome anything. And people will know that you are a spiritual failure. Because before men, you will appear to be what? Good. You won't have success spiritually. You can't record. And that's why the devil wants it to be. For many years, I had problems. I said, does it mean, until God opened my eyes, I said, do you know that if you don't have the righteousness, you can't even connect to the power that makes you live right? He said, if you are disconnected from me, how do you live right? So you see, it is that righteousness that makes you reign over sin. Can I hear amen? Because it connects you to the Spirit of God that gives you revelation, understanding, ability, and everything. So your faith comes alive. I have a lot to say about this, but not now. So much to say about this. Philippians 3:8. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ. Have you found that out? Christians, if you don't find this out, I will urge you to find it out. The knowledge of Jesus trumps anything else. It's an amazing knowledge. It's the more you know Jesus, the more amazed you are. It's something really truly amazing, honestly speaking. I've been asking myself, what have I been doing as a Christian? You can't know Jesus all your lifetime. The Bible says in him is hid all the treasures of wisdom and what? Knowledge. It's in him that God has done everything we do for you as a human being. There's nothing outside of him. Because it's in him we live now. It is in him. All the things that God will do for you, all those promises fulfilled for you, it's in Christ you discover them. You don't find them outside of him. And so he says, yes, everything else is worthless. Everything else is what? Worthless. Church, everything else is what? Worthless, totally worthless, completely worthless. When compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake now, I have discarded everything else I thought was important, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ. Do you know the word to gain Christ means so that I am not cut off from Christ? To gain him is so that I benefit from him. So I'm not cut off living the Pharisaic life. So to gain, what are we? So I could gain who? Christ. When he said the other thing, the next thing, and become one with him. I thought he was born again. I thought he was already one with him. So what he's talking about becoming one with him? What's talking about one with him is walking with him. Being in fellowship, connected, like the vine and the branch, connected continuously to him, so he can draw sap, draw energy, draw food from the vine. Amen. So I no longer count, let's read that one. I no longer count on my own through, rather I became how? Righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. That's what we're saying. It's not by what we do, it is by what Christ did that makes us what? Righteous. But that righteousness connects us to God so that God can now produce more of the righteous works through us. Because if we are disconnected, the righteous works cannot be produced. That's what Jesus said. He said, if the branch is disconnected from the vine, he said, it is thrown down and people trample upon it. What he said, it is useless. You can't produce anything useful. Up to this point, do you understand me? Is anybody confused? I'm ready to wait for you. Because if you don't get this, your Christianity will be wishy-washy. I'm not kidding you. You can pray 10 hours of just wasting your time. Do you know that in Christianity, little means much? God doesn't need too much to do much. All that God needs is what? Little. Then he does much. Once you are doing much for little, reconsider what you are doing. Go and read the whole Bible, and you find that every time God does something, he uses small and does speak. He uses small and what? He uses a rod and parts the sea. He uses small fish and this thing and feeds thousands. The disciples came together and said, God, consider their threatening. Before 3 minutes, the whole place was shaking. And they were so anointed that what the Spirit started to do with them, the ripple came to us today. To God, he said to one man, he said, you have too many soldiers. So let them go. He sent them home. Those who were afraid and those who were not sure what they were. He had only 300. That's like God. Once you start all this doing a lot and saying little, I will beg you to go to God and find out why you're missing him. Because with God, little is what he will use to what? So you know that the power is from. So we start this, our studies of spiritual authority, by looking at, first of all, the key thing that will affect your faith in using it is this issue of righteousness. Because the Bible says, it is those who have received this gift of righteousness that reign in life. But you know why they reign. Why do they reign? Now talk to me. Why is it that those are the ones that will reign? Why? This side, can I hear you? Why do they reign? If you don't answer, I point to your name. This side. Why do they reign? Because they are connected. That's the old teacher. She understands me because teaching is her profession. Because they are connected what? To God through Christ. And it is a gift of God. It is that connection that makes it possible for you to do anything at all. So now God can walk through you because you are connected to him through Christ. But when you say no and you are disconnected, then what else can you do? What else can you do? Huh? What can you do without him? But you disconnected. Because he says, if you want to count on any other thing for righteousness, you'll be cut off from Christ. You don't want to be cut off. Because if you are cut off, you are a branch that others, you know what it means that others trample upon. You have no authority. You have nothing. You can't do anything. For without him, we can do. So instead of making you to sin, he makes you not to sin. Because he connects you to the power that keeps you. It's like electrical connection. So that power surges and we are kept by the power of God. But it is through Christ. Christ is like the wire. So if you cut the wire, so where's the power coming from? You are left with your human ability. You become a Pharisee. That's all you end up being. This side, you understand me? Huh? If you understand me, say amen. So, gift of righteousness, does it make you commit sin? Huh? Why? It connects you to God through Christ. Because that right to stand before God was given to you as a gift. But we reject that right. God says, there's no other right I have. So you've got to find another way. And there's no other way to come to God. Look, I've been teaching this thing for a long time. You should understand it, man. You know what the Lord told me one time? He said, listen. He said, you can't force it on people. He said, just go there and declare what I said. Go home. You can't force this thing. At the point, I was bothered. I said, Lord, this is... Oh, my God. So we start these studies in this use of spiritual authority by looking at, first of all, the key thing that will affect your faith in the use of spiritual authority, which is understanding the basis of it is the gift of righteousness. The gift of what? Righteousness is what makes every other thing available to you, including the power to live right, including revelations from God that reveals to you what he has given you. Every other thing comes alive. Everything comes alive. Every other thing comes alive. And you begin to understand this authority you have because the Spirit of God is working in your life. You don't quench it. So, the enemy tries so much. He tries so much to cut us off from Christ. He tries to maneuver you out of your position with Jesus Christ. He does that all the time. It's not once, it's not twice, because he knows that if you are cut off from Christ, you are a mincemeat. You are vulnerable, very, very vulnerable about that time. So he tries to cut us off from him. 1 Peter 5:8. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around looking like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are going through. So we are going to deal with him. We are not afraid of him. He's afraid of us. But we have to understand some things that he does, how he wants to cut you off from Christ, disconnect you from. Isn't this simple wisdom that if you are my source that's making me give him trouble, all I need to do is to come and cut you? So what he wants to do is to blind us to the truth, to prevent us from seeing the truth, from understanding it and from knowing it. He does that all the time. Do you know that one of the greatest battles you will fight is to read your Bible? Come on, church. Is that true or not? Huh? And that's why many don't read their Bible. Every time you want to read the Bible, you feel good. You know, it's like, that's demonic oppression. Satanic oppression. He doesn't want you to read that. You know, he went around and told the world that if you read the Bible, you get mad. That's the story he told. And people believe it. They say it's only the priest that reads it. He said, if you in my village, they said, you have Bible, you want to get mad. So nobody was reading. You know who told that story? It's the devil. So he will try to make you not read the Bible. If you have not experienced it, you are telling a lie. He will make you feel good. He will do anything. He wants you to sleep some more. Huh? And then phone calls. We come, say, let me answer this call. If that call is not ending. I mean, check whether I'm telling you a lie. That's the Satan. That's the devil. That's him. You know, my wife and I will come to press. Immediately we enter here, my phone will start. My wife will say, turn that thing off. Immediately we enter, my phone will start. Then immediately I say, let me just know what they're. Let me know what they're saying. Turn it off. We came to pray. Turn it off. Turn it off. To study Bible? That is a battleground. If you don't know it, know it today. There's a demonic oppression to stop you from reading the Bible. He will do it continuously. It doesn't stop. And the moment you are no more reading the Bible, guess what? You come alive. You don't have the same oppression when you are watching television. Especially if you are watching Nigerian film. You won't have that. And watch it. If you want to come to Bible studies, watch it. It's a battle. He will not want you to come. He will talk you out of Bible studies. Talk you out of Life Center. Talk you anywhere they are studying the Bible that will help you. He will talk you out of it. He will do everything to stop you from going. Because he knows that if you are cutting classes, it will not be everything God wants you to be. Because God demands faithfulness. There is a level of things God can commit into your hand. If you are not faithful, there are things God will never commit into your hand. I don't care what you are saying, because the scripture says so. And if you are not in pursuit with all your heart, there's limitation to what you are going to have. You know, Josh Mayer said, he said, people look for babysitters to watch their children when they go to social events, to parties. Is that correct? He said, why don't we look for babysitter when we go to God's own party, Bible studies? He said, why do we think that the word of God is not worth looking for a babysitter to go and listen? But we want to please our friends. We call friends and say, can I send my children to you? I'm going for. And they say, oh, you want to go for a party? Go. But the greatest reason we give for not going to Bible studies is the same blessing that God gave us. How does it add up? If God didn't give you, you'd be fasting. Now he gave you. And that's the same reason you're giving God. The blessing you gave me is blocking me from coming to serve you. Brethren, I'm not lying. Go to every church. The least attended meeting is Bible study. Go to any church you want. This church is doing great because we have almost 50% of adult attendance, average. Many churches will have up to six people, 10 people. Check if I'm telling lies. But once you say, pray, come, the anointing will heal you. They are motivated by ignorance, selfishness. And they come there, get nothing, because they are still ignorant. Because you can get nothing unless you develop your faith. I don't care how what you think anointing is flowing there. You can't be more anointed than Jesus. The Bible says because they had no faith, he could not heal them. And if he could not heal them then, he still can't heal them today. Can I hear amen? Amen. So he will try to stop you from attending anything where you will study the Bible and pay benefit. Stop. Do you know I grew up on the pews? It is by being in the Life Center, being in the Bible studies, being in evangelism. My wife and I, evangelism. That's why up till now, my wife will never miss evangelism. Because we built it into ourselves. Evangelism, never missed it. I started church planting, not because I knew too much. It's because the church authority called me and said, we want you to go and do church planting. I said, no, I just joined their church. They said, no. We watch you and your wife. Listen to this. He said, we watch you and your wife. Evangelism, you are there. Bible study, you are there. This one, you are there. You are so committed. So we give you this to do for us. You see what God said? If you are faithful in little, God will what? You see how that thing brought me to this country? You see what God did? But it's taught, not only, you see Life Center? I was leading Children's Life Center, both of us, when my son Kenny was a toddler, small. We laid it until many of them went to college and came out. And that like every child in Queen's College got saved, including Muslims. They all got saved, coming to our living room. And I would be a horse. They'll climb on my back. It will be paining me, but I pretend. You know, and all I taught them was salvation. The Lord said to me, ground them in salvation. That's all. So we demonstrate salvation. we say this person today, this group, into this group, you are the unsaved. This group, you are saved. I go and preach to them. Say, uncle, I'm the one to preach. Okay, I don't want to preach. I preach. Then after that, another group will try. We'll do that, demonstrate it. What does it mean? What does it mean? They understood it. One of them came to America, called her. Said, doctor, today, he said, what you taught us, I still have it. So I'm telling the Lord today. He's in Texas, right? Chinedu, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. So the enemy will not let you. He will fight you. Think he won't fight you? You're kidding yourself. He will make you come late. He will give you all good reasons why you should take your time. After all, it's not you that killed Jesus. Take your time, my friend. Do you know we listen to the devil more than we listen to Jesus? You know, one man was saying to God, he said, God, the devil is harassing me too much. He said, okay, do to him what you do to me. He said, what do I do to you? He said, don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. Because you too, you don't listen to me. He said, do to him what you do to me. Now, don't listen to him. The Bible calls it cares of this world. Mark 4:19. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. The what? Deceitfulness of riches. And the desires for other things. They choke the word of God and they become unfruitful. I want you to ask yourself if this is not true. Deceitfulness of riches. Want to make more because I have need. But what you forget is that except the Lord builds. That more you're making, the enemy can bring more need and choke that more you're making. Choke it out. Mess it up in 1 minute. In 1 minute, all that money will go into another trouble he will set up for you. We take all that money. Because you didn't make God first. You're solving your problem on your own. Praise the Lord. So he plans to hide the truth from us by directly blocking our understanding. I mean, demonic blockade blocks your mind. Refuses, he blocks your mind, I will say. Clouds it up. He does that. If you let him. If you let him. Is there not times you have studied the Bible before you are not understanding? The thing is like, have you not experienced it? You are reading and reading, it's like something is. That's when to say, Satan, stop this nonsense. You get out of here. Get out of here. And if you don't exercise that authority, nobody can. God won't do anything about it. 2 Corinthians 4:3, 4:3, 4:5, 6:7. But if our gospel is hid, it is hid from them that are lost, in whom the God of this world have blinded, has what? Blinded, verse 4. Has what? Come on, church. Has what? Blinded. What is it blind? The minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 5. For we preach not ourselves. We don't preach ourselves. But who? Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. He said, this revelation, this gospel, this light, the gospel, God commanded it, it shined in our heart to give a revelation of who God is through the knowledge of Christ. Through the knowledge of Christ. He said, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Which means, in knowing Christ, you come to know the glory of God. But he says, the gospel that we preach is the light. So as you go for it, see why I called it a treasure in this 18 verse. He called the gospel a treasure. Paul is always referring to the gospel as a treasure. So he said, you blind people, you block the light. We don't want you to know it. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, how many of us? But we all. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, what are we beholding? The glory of the Lord. Changed into the same image from glory to glory. Okay, if I need one more thing. Now, my brother here, let's say he's the glory that I'm supposed to behold, right? Come on now. What is the glory, really? When I behold the authority, behold the beauty of his life, behold the righteousness he gave, the glory of his righteousness, the glory of his love, the glory of his grace. Everything that God does is glorious. The love of God, the beauty of it. When I see it in Christ, the Bible says, if I see it, then the Holy Spirit renews my mind and transforms me to begin to behave like him. Even though I'm created to be like him, but my mind is not renewed. So it is like school, blackboard, look at Jesus. So the more you know Christ and find out his authority that you have, the power in his name, for instance, the power in his blood, for instance, his life that you have, the greater one that is what? Is in you. The glory, his power. When you know the power that he has, then the devil can make you afraid. Because now you know, the more you know him, the more you can operate in the same glory, in the same faith, in the same faith, in the same authority, because you know the power in his name. You can say in the name of Jesus. Are you getting my point? Where did you find that? You saw the glory of his name. You saw that his name is so glorious. Man, Peter said, faith in his name made you to walk. Paul said, we know in whom we believe. Therefore, none of these things move me. Where did he know that? In beholding his glory. Now listen, brethren. The Bible said the devil will try to block you from seeing that glory. And when he does that, how can you be transformed into that glory? It's not possible. You just be another Pharisee going to church. Thank you. I'm telling people what's happening. Oh, you say, Pastor, go to church. Yeah. Don't you see millions going to church who don't know much? Don't you see millions? Look, it's easy to talk. Words are cheap. It's when the tire meets the what? The road now. Talking in church, forget about this. Praise the Lord. Was it not in church that the Lord told me about somebody in church, and one time I told him, I said, you have something in your house, don't get that thing. So the girl went and brought it. It was juju he had. When he brought it, the people in the front row ran. And these are people been Christians for years. They have been Christians for how many? They ran. Brethren, let me tell you something. A lot of Christians are babies. They don't know much. If you talk with them, you just know there's not much there. They don't know much. We started the church in a native doctor's house. And then, because every church that will come, he will go and do, I don't know what he did with them. But so when we came, he will give you his house, and pretty soon the churches will flop. So when we came, he was sure that this is another one. So he gave us the same place. And he did what he would do. He come and put juju at the door. Then I told him, I said, you know it's free, we are here, so let's not destroy the juju. So I will take it and keep by the side. And after service, we'll put it back. Pretty soon, seven of his wives got saved. Seven. Before he knew it, his son was ready for missionary work. The church grew down to his step. We just said it didn't keep somewhere. And host, have church. Never prayed about it. Didn't talk to the devil. What is devil? Never one day. Spent 1 second binding nothing. My wife said with me. Never. Didn't even talk about it. Ignore this nonsense. When Jesus shows up. When Jesus shows up, you don't have time for this. He's the glorious one. He's the power itself. You know who he is? The king of what? Kings. That's where you know his glory. You live, he's like him. That's what it means. You start living like him. What gave us that? And that man was dangerous. Because the wife told me, said, my husband is very dangerous. In his house, in that hotel, are all the courts. They took the signboard out. These Indians and they had all their courts right there. And my senior pastor called me and warned me. He said, I'm sending you to the most dangerous part of Lagos. I'm a Lagosian myself. That's what he told me. I said, sir, it's okay. The earth is the Lord's. There was no day we spent binding any supper. That church was growing before. In fact, the wife now came and said, my husband, do. He said, dangerous man. So I didn't know what the man was now doing. I said, stop saying that. I said, we are the dangerous people. I said, why is your husband? He said, my guy is inside. I said, let me save him. I went to him. I said, sir, your wife said you're dangerous. I said, I came to tell you we are dangerous. Danger has come to your house. You better know that. God is my... I went to him. I said, danger has arrived in your house. I said, I want to inform you ahead of time. So I heard that he buried more cows or whatever he did. But however, that church is running to thousands today. You live like Jesus. Living like Jesus is not just, you know, brothers and sisters, No. You live the same. He said, the works I did, you do the same. That's what it means, living like Jesus. You live in his glory, live in his power, live in the same faith. You rise. You rebuke. You kick. He said to them, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. And they know you know him. They know what? When you don't fidget. The Bible said, in quietness and confidence, you will possess your what? Possession. It's not in rattling and making noise. No. Because you are sure. Because you know something. You know his glory. Can I hear amen? When you know his glory, you don't have time for this other type of life. It doesn't appeal to you. It doesn't appeal to you. It's lost its appeal. Because your eye has seen something more glory. So you see, now but the devil wants to block you from seeing that glory now, from knowing Christ, knowing the righteousness he gave you. So you see his love. One person wrote, he said, what manner of love, what is this? He saw something. But you've been a Christian. Have you ever said, God, what manner of love is this? Eh? That I should be called? Has it ever even made any impression on you that you are called a child? For where? Somebody said, hey, he said, this Jesus we have, this gift is indescribable. He saw something indescribable, beyond description. Is it not he saw some value? Which one have we seen? Churchgoers, not all of you. So the enemy tries to blind it. And when he blinds it, you won't see any value in your going to church. So you benefit in Christ, you won't see anything. Just wishy-washy, dragging your feet. Tight, you won't pay. You won't give to God. You nothing. Everything is lukewarm. Your motivation is not there. It's not there. And God help you, if the devil meets you in that state, he will mess you up. Quickly. Make you miss me very quickly. It won't take him time. Because all he needs to do is to add more pressure. Succumb. So, another thing he tries to do is he tries to block us by building strongholds. You know what stronghold is? A stronghold is a system of belief he gives you that is not right, it's not correct. It might be half-truth, but there's a lie there. He gives it to you, and because you believe it so strongly, every truth that comes to you bounces off it. If you hear the truth, the devil brings that stronghold and it bounces off it. You are not even prepared to listen. You have made up your mind that that is not true. So once they said it, it bounces off it. He uses it to bounce off truths that is coming to you, to block truth out for you. And he did it with the Pharisees. You know what he did to them? He gave them self-righteousness. He convinced them that they were righteous. So they didn't need any righteousness from Christ. Praise the Lord. So when he convinced them they were righteous, he blocked them from understanding the righteousness of Christ. He blocked them. because they were righteous. They didn't need it. And a lot of Christians are like that today. They don't see the need for this righteousness of Christ. And the devil has blocked them. You know, I used to, when Jesus said to the Pharisees, you're of your father the what? You know, I didn't understand that scripture too well until one white man came here last two Sundays. And came, I called him, I said, come and hear this one. He came to me, followed me. He said, Pastor, he said, what you are preaching is unadulterated truth. I asked him, he said, what you are preaching is unadulterated truth. He said, this is what Paul preached. He said, this church should put you where? On TV. He said, the world should hear you. Ask him. It was this white man who was sitting there. He said, I've been a minister for how long? 30 years. So I've been a minister 30 years. So I'm telling you. He said, you should be on television. The world should hear you. Then he said something. And when he said that, the Lord took it from there and told me, he said, that's what I was telling the Pharisees. He said to me, the Pharisaic spirit is still opposing the grace of God today. You were there. He said, he's still opposing the grace of God today. Immediately I left, the Lord said to me, yeah, that's correct. He said, they persecuted me. Persecuted Paul. And Paul called it the offense of the cross that does not cease. Somebody shout hallelujah. And then he said, when I told them, oh man. He said, when I told them, you're of your father the devil, I was telling them you are being motivated by demons. You want to kill me. He said, what did I do? A man who has told you the truth. He said, Pharisaic spirit is that spirit of self-righteousness. It's a dangerous thing. Very dangerous spirit. It will oppose the grace of God. You'll fight it everywhere. It's a spirit of entitlement and self-sufficiency. It's pride by excellence. So the devil gave it to them and used it to block them from receiving the righteousness of God. The Bible says about them, Romans 10 from verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to Israel, to God for Israel, is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They've been blocked. For they've been ignorant of God's what? Righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes it. They didn't accept it. Because the devil has blocked it. Remember what Jesus told them? He said, you are blind. He said, a great light is shining here. But you are not what? You are not seeing it. And Paul said, if this gospel is hid, it is the devil that is there. So he used this stronghold. A demonic stronghold is always a system of imaginations and knowledge that is against the truth that the devil gives you. Sometimes false doctrines, like he sold it to me that poverty is humility. And he told me that God was training me. Then later on, many years, the Lord asked me a very interesting, listen to this question. He said, if I redeemed you from poverty, why should I come back and make you poor? Wow. He said, why do you believe the lie of the devil? He said, I gave my son. He became a curse for you. So my blessings will what? Come upon you. And then I turn around and make you poor, canceling what my son did. He said, how can this be? He said, it was the devil who deceived you. He sold that lie, you bought it, and you were poor like rat. He told me, he said, do you know poverty is a curse? Praise the Lord. But I believed it then. And I wasn't the only one that believed it. We were two. Two. If I one of us, I won't call the name. We wear bedroom slippers to see the students because who said she? Didn't hear me from it. I didn't say Sam, so that at least my dinner is secured. If I don't have dinner, I follow my auntie home. Guy, if she believed that. You know, no powder, nothing. In fact, she threw away her wedding ring. Oh yeah, threw it away because she defiled the woman. That's supposed to. We bought those lies We bought those lies. It became a stronghold. If you came to preach to me that God blesses people, I say you are carnal. The thing will bounce off me. Even up to now, it's still a battle. If you give me something, there's a way. I'd rather you don't give me. I'd rather you don't give me. My worst day is the day they talk of the council about any salary increase. I feel uncomfortable. I don't want it. I don't want it. One time I was crying. I told her, I said, I don't want that discussion here. I don't want it. Please. Leave me alone. I'm telling you. I haven't had any for a long time. Because once I agree, I feel so happy. Another 1 year has gone. I'm feeling very, very free. I don't want this. But it's something that I have imbibed as a good doctrine, but it's not true. Is it not God that prospered Abraham? And what was the blessing that came on us? The blessing of Abraham. And the Bible says Abraham was rich in cattle and this. So you can have this thing about self-righteousness. He can use this holiness thing and make you become wicked and judgmental. And you forget the love of God. Trying to make people holy, you become Herod. Praise the Lord. I didn't hear anything. Instead of loving people, leaving God to walk in their lives, and knowing that you too, you still have some ways. Has anybody walked on water yet? So we have never walked on water. We're just going from glory to glory. So all I owe is to love you and give you room, give you space. And you give me space. So we'll get along. We will never know equally everything. To that extent, there's going to be differences as we grow. But love binds us together. It can't be where you are loved and not grow. No, you grow. Because love, it defies. Can I hear amen? So I don't know some of the doctrines that I put into you. You know, from this doctrine, it takes three IVGs to get this thing solved. Whereas it's good to have 9 VGs and pray, but if that becomes your reason, your hope of glory, that's a problem. And the devil can make it your hope of glory instead of Christ. Are you getting my point? What is good, he corrupts it. And your faith, instead of being on Christ now, is on your, and you're even boasting about it. So this one, I fought 9 VGs, good thing. This one, I fought 40 days, I will do the thing. So. Praise the Lord. Luke 16:15. And he said unto them, you are there, quit justify yourself before me. See, you're always looking self-righteous before me. You justify yourself. But God knoweth your what? Your heart. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. God doesn't have need of self-pride. And all that self-glorification. We're all human beings. God has no need of that. We are what? Human. Then let's move on. Then he makes you to doubt the word of God. He brings doubt. He tries to bring doubt. Matthew 13:21. Matthew 13. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. Why? For when? Am I the only one? When what? Tribulations or what? Persecution arises. Why is it arising? Because of the truth you have received. By and by, he gets the moment. I've said it to you over, and I'm not trying to frighten you, but that's the truth. The devil will try to make you doubt God. And one way he will do it is to bring trouble. He will try and bring what? Trouble. So that you say, this thing is not a... What he wants you to do is to recount the word, doubt the word, and forget it. If he can't stop you from studying it, he wants to fight you to drop it. One time I was, for days I had very terrible symptoms. Very, very terrible. And then he'll come and tell me what they are. You know he's a doctor. He knows the names of every... say. Yeah, he'll tell me, say, you know, this is this, and this is this, and this is this. He said, you know, this is this. And he said, you know, he said, do you know how your church will do your funeral? He said, the funeral home where they will lay you. He said, they will bring you in their church now. He said, at least that's okay. So I was talking, for days, the symptom was severe. He was talking all this. So I was having my bath. I wasn't praying. I was having my bath, and the Lord said to me, you know, the devil is just talking to you. Why are you even listening to him? Like in my eyes, I could just imagine him sitting and talking. I burst out laughing. I laughed. I almost went to God. I laughed and laughed. Brethren, you know what happened? That was the end of both him and the symptom, everything left. I laughed and laughed and laughed him to scorn. I mean, I laughed so much that I almost fell on the floor. Because like I was seeing him trying to, you know, with what you're trying to, you know. So the thing made me laugh. I laughed. I told my wife, I said, I laughed at this guy like he's really worth laughing at. And when I laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed, if you were outside, you're wondering, what is he laughing at? I was laughing at him. And after laughing at him, took my bath, left, decided to ignore him. He took his symptoms and what? Left. Took his symptoms and left. So he brings trouble. If I teach you about healing, he brings trouble for me. So you teach healing, okay, let's see. If you believe this, oh, for sure, I believe it. But you know the good thing about it? It is those trials that will establish the thing that it is true. It is a stepping stone for you to prove the word of God. It's not to frighten you. It's an opportunity for you to what? Reinforce that this is truth. When you stand on it, to practice it. Then you find your faith go from stage to stage. Amen? Then he says, this one, I think I have to end with this one. He sets a very dangerous trap for us. Very dangerous trap. This is one of the most dangerous traps he sets. It is found in Matthew 16:23. Matthew 16:23. Jesus turned to Peter and said, Get away from me, Satan. You are what? A dangerous trap for me. What was that dangerous trap? You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God. Brethren, we can camp here for 2 days. Because this is a trap he uses to deal with Christians. And God will start moving. You know, last Sunday, I was sitting here and they were worshiping, praise worship. Do you know our praise worship? A lot of times during our praise worship, God starts moving. I don't know if you have noticed it. People start dancing out of their chair. God is moving on them. God starts moving people. They start moving. They start dancing. That thing they are doing, sometimes believe you me, you need to know the ways of God. That thing that the joy of the Lord is your what? That joy bubbles up. They start dancing. That thing you see, don't joke with it though. I'm not kidding you. Things are happening. So God started moving on the choir here. I sat here and I saw God. I noticed that God was moving on. And then we finished the praise worship group. And we went home. And the Lord said to me, why did you stop that praise worship? When you saw me moving, you should have just allowed me to finish it. He said, you time me out. So most of the time, when your choir is singing, I start moving on people. So when you notice my move, allow the choir, please. Can we agree on that? Say, so allow them, leave them alone. Because they bring this thing. We have a good choir. These kids are awesome. I'm telling you. You know. So, what we do is we use our human understanding to judge spiritual things. What is the result? We stop God. We stop God. And isn't it funny that the Bible says that what God does has never entered into the heart of what? Man. And now you want to judge it with your heart. And the Bible says that this thing God is doing passes human understanding. And it says it is past finding out. The ways of God is what? But I'm trying to find it out with my human wisdom. So the devil sets that trap. And God is doing something or saying something. And I'm reading the Bible. I use my human mind to try to interpret it. Guess what? Guess what? Error. And because I think it's correct, I'm in deceit already. Come on, praise the Lord. I'm in deceit, what? Already. Because I'm trying to use my... Look, Jesus was talking to Peter about something. Peter said, took him aside and said, sir, you don't say things like this. Look, in our culture, you're 30. You are not going to die yet. You're going to be around. And then, you know, and then I don't know other things that Peter told him. You know what Peter was doing? Brethren, let me tell you something. Most of the time, the enemy will tempt you to use your human understanding to interpret God in your life. If you do, you will miss God. We have missed blessings. We have missed... There was this Sunday here, and God began to move. I think my wife started dancing this kind of, you know, this kind of dance. That one sister came and took cloth and was falling. You know what I'm saying? God was moving powerfully. That dance step was something. I didn't know that the Spirit can make you dance. This place erupted. I don't even remember that Sunday. She started that, she was that, like this. You know what I mean? She would do like this. And then Sister Abo came from behind, following her with that thing. You know, that was a powerful move of the Spirit. The Spirit of joy spread the whole church. If you embraced it, and not use your human mind, if you jumped into it, man, a lot can happen in your life. That's, we use our human mind to, I don't know how to describe it. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Come on, I said, praise the Lord. One man came to Jesus and said, hey, this born again. I hear you say born again, yeah? Okay, am I going to enter my mother's womb? What is he trying to do? I want you to explain to me, ladies and gentlemen, how can anybody be in prison in the innermost talk and be singing? Beaten with bleeding. And at midnight, they are singing. It's not normal behavior. At all. There is an understanding that the Spirit of God gave them that started singing in them. Normal behavior would be to murmur and complain. I said, first Christ sent me here and I'm in prison. Even the pastor has not called me. Nobody called Paul. Nobody came to see him. But he was what? Singing. Come on, church. He was what? Singing. Something spoke. He was not seeing it from human understanding. He had the revelation about this, that situation that spoiled us. How can somebody beat an old man like Peter? They flogged him and beat him. The man started dancing home. I was glad when they said... They said, Peter, why are you dancing? He said, they beat me. Who beat you? These Pharisees. What did you do? I preached the gospel. The Bible said they were so glad that they were beaten. That's not human understanding. There was a revelation that the Spirit of God gave them of the value of that thing that human understanding can't grasp. Oh, praise the Lord. Didn't the Bible say to us, when we fall into diverse temptations, count it what? Or which ones have you counted, John? Is it no murmuring? Yeah. God, after I get better of my tithe, things are not working okay. In fact, I'm not going to church again. For the one I went, I regret it. I'm not praising God again. Praising God again. Not praising God. As of it, you have to come and force me to. I'm not praising again. I'll report you to my mother. Bro, God, he didn't call me. If bro, God, he called me. Bro, God, since I'm in this church, do you greet me? Didn't greet me. He
The Bible says, count it all joy. You have to keep your... That's what the... Now, let me talk before I'll close. You know, when Jesus said, carry your cross and what? Follow me. I need to understand that thing. And I realized, brethren, listen to it. When he began to tell me, he said, you know what it means to carry a cross. I said, suffering. He said, I never put suffering as a condition to follow me. It's you people that put it. Never did he put it. He said, yeah, it will attract suffering for sure. It will come for sure. But he said to me, do you know that if I don't give you revelation and bring your understanding at par to what I'm doing, you will not be able to endure suffering for my name's sake. You will misinterpret it at moment. That's why he started telling me, he said, do you think it's normal for somebody to dance for being flogged? He said, they were not enduring with grief. They were enduring with joy. He said, you can't do that unless I give you a revelation from my spirit so you see that thing differently from how human beings what? See. He said, when you see it from the way I see it, instead of murmuring, you will dance for joy because your salvation draw it. I said, oh, he said, yes. He said, what I mean by cross is where you say to yourself, I'm done with my human understanding. Can somebody shout hallelujah? I am done with my what? And my will. Because your will is a product of your human understanding. So I'm done with that. And now like a child, I die. You know, cross is where you die. Die to your understanding. They say the key thing is to die to your what? Understanding. So when you die to your understanding, then I have a chance to give you my own understanding. So that when you come under severe pressure, because of the revelation, because of the things you know, instead of you succumbing and murmuring, you'll be dancing and rising. Ah, you didn't get that. You'll be dancing and what? Rising. Praise the Lord. Are you getting my point? So you come home, your wife does some things. Because you are dead to your understanding, you're not going to say, that's the way women behave. No. That's human understanding. Because you carry your cross where every day you die. The devil said, that's the way women behave. He said, no, devil. Lord, what's this? Say, she's a woman. She's okay. She's stressed out. So instead of you being angry, you go and help her. He said, what made the difference? You are not seeing it as men see. You are now seeing it as God sees it. And your response becomes exactly what God wants you to do. Come on, are you following my point? Huh? So when you carry your cross, what Jesus is saying, he said, deny yourself, carry your cross. Because if you don't deny yourself and kill your understanding, you can't get my understanding. So your evaluation of circumstances will make you mad when you should be laughing. Will make you hopeless when you should be enjoying. Will make you feel all is ended when nothing is ended, it's just beginning. Oh, praise the Lord, church. I told them yesterday, I said, the devil will take your past and try to make it your present and make it your future. So you feel hopeless. He will bring your past failures and say, this thing will never... He makes it your present and tells you tomorrow it will still not change. I said, we bind to that and we lose faith. But what did God say? Forget what? The former things. Behold, I do... Is anybody agreeing with me? Can we rise up? Pastor, I want to invite you, please. Somebody shout hallelujah. God is going to do a new thing. Don't let the devil trap you in your past. Because God said, remember not the former things. Behold. I didn't hear you. Behold. I didn't hear you now. Behold. I didn't hear you. Come on. Behold. I didn't hear you. Behold. And he said, shall it not spring forth? If you know that, you'll be singing. I was glad when they said.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.